Hello, this is Dr. Shiva. Welcome to our podcast, Get Educated or Be Enslaved.
Episode 1514, air date November 2nd, 2024.
Okay, we're recording. So welcome to Voice of the People by People United. And Dr. Len and I are very excited to be able to bring on our guest today, Dr. Shiva Ayyadurai, who is, to me, the example in my heart of integrity. And people know us. I mean, Dr. Shiva, Len and I have done hundreds of shows. And Len's a medical doctor. I'm a teacher of Eastern medicine and Eastern healing. We care about the health part of humans. But the three of us actually have a lot more in common than you may think, because the three of us come from families who are working class families who have immigrant parents and grandparents who came to this country to experience a new life because their country didn't serve them. The three of us worked from a young age. I was 11 years old when I first got my first job to make money to help the family. So we have those three things in common, the three of us. But the other thing I think we have in common, which is interesting, is we, because of our culture, because of our upbringing, we both grew up in New Jersey, by the way, Dr.
Oh, I didn't know that. Where did you grow up, Francisco?
Rutherford. I was born in Hackensack and grew up in Rutherford, in a very ethnic community. We had tons of multicultural families all around us. We grew up like you, like Len, in these worlds. So we have something in common that brings us to this point of trust. We have a value around trust, super high value of what trust is. Trust is nothing you give away. Our parents, our grandparents taught us you don't give trust easily. People earn it and they have to earn it from you. Okay? So this is a foundational part of, to me, what integrity is. When you deal with trust, you're dealing with the heart, right? You're dealing with that spiritual part of us. You might not think about trust being a spiritual aspect, but you have to have trust to understand your spiritual side, your heart side. We are now in a world where people have lost their trust in candidates, in corporations, in the medical world. But here's where I want to set the bridge up for you to share with us, Dr. Shiva. I think we've lost trust in ourselves. And that disempowerment has led to a lot of the problems that we're facing now. So with that, I hand off to you. You're running for president. We'll talk about that. So proud of you for what you're doing. I'm proud of you that you're from New Jersey, from the East Coast, because it takes a certain fire to be able to do what we're doing now. So share with us what your thoughts about trust and what it means.
Yes. Yeah, so Francesco and Len, you know, I'll rebroadcast this on my StreamYard once you give me the. So just for our folks, Len, you're also from New Jersey. What part?
No, I am from Chicago.
Oh, you are? Okay.
I was just born there, but I really was raised in California.
And then you still practice medicine?
Len? Full time. Yes.
I say in family practice or any particular area?
I'm an internist, but I do a lot of things that are a little bit different. So I practice something called health medicine, which is integrative, holistic, person-centered medicine.
I say, okay.
We currently use big pharma. I think that we have to stop what big pharma is doing to us.
Yeah.
So I'm a recovering doctor.
I say.
And Len and I have been working together for over 20 years, Dr.
Jim. Oh, I say, between Chicago and New Jersey.
And we've traveled the world and
I said,
yes.
All right, great. Yeah. So, I was just talking with someone, was it yesterday? You know, I think this issue of, you know, our slogan is save yourself. There's no one coming to save you.
Right.
And that slogan came out, a very good friend of mine who I went to school with at MIT, his name is Bruce Padmore. Bruce actually, he's one of the few African-Americans at MIT. But he came from the inner cities of Louisiana, wow. You know, gunshots going everywhere, crime. His father left him when he was young and he was brought up by his mom. And Bruce is just smart, you know, having to fight for himself. And somehow he made it to, MIT to learn, you know, engineering. Very, very smart guy. He was my CTO in one of my companies for many years. But what Bruce said was interesting. He said, you know, he goes, he was saying that a lot of people may not know this, but there were, late 1800s, there was a movement among African-Americans to address the inequity that was taking place. And there was various trends that took place, right? Some people said, you know, we're the former slaves. Let's burn it all down. Okay, that's one thing, right? The other one said, you know, let's stay here and run in politics and build movements, right? But there was a third group, which was into what's called cultural Black nationalism, which said, they don't want us here. Let's all leave back to our homeland, which is Africa. It was a cultural nationalist movement, which is very different than progressive national, which is, hey, we built this country, we have a right to be here. And they, in fact, got boats and everything. They raised money and they went to Liberia. There are a number of Blacks who moved back to Liberia. It's a very interesting history. And he goes, when they went on the boat, the owners of the boat, they basically told all the Black people, hey, okay, we're going to take care of you now. You don't have to worry. And when they landed in Liberia, the same thing took place. A set of bourgeois Blacks subjugated all the other Blacks, and they took away their power, right? But the thing was, they said, we're going to take care of everything for you.
So sad.
That's where the problem begins.
That's right.
Right? And so what Bruce said, you know what? He goes, Dr. Shiva, you've created all the tools that people can liberate themselves. But part of this is and I think most people know this at a certain level of maturity, that people are going to want to do things only if they really want to do it. You can't push people. People try to do it in families and relationships, societal levels, and it works out very well. The person trying to do quote unquote good, when they try to convince someone or push someone, they invariably end up losing because people get resentful. But when you do find people who actually do want to do the right things for themselves, it's much easier to build a community of people. You're not tugging and pulling, and it's a lot of other issues that develop. You know, you learn this when you're building an organization or a company. You know, you want to find the right people that gel together. They're coming together for a core mission. So the slogan became "Save Yourself," right?
It's great. Yeah, it's perfect.
Yeah, and that gelled with the other diagram I did called Shatter the Swarm. There's a video out there everyone should go see called shatterthesswarm.com, which is 15 minutes, but there's an hour version.
It's excellent. Yeah. I really recommend everybody to see this, because for one, the term swarm is such an excellent step up in the evolution of describing our problem. So
yeah, because Trump was using drain the swamp, words matter. Slogans matter. They're symbols of a deep set of thoughts. So drain the swamp gives a particular location. And a swarm denotes that it's everywhere. It's all around you and it's dispersive. You see? It's a much more nuanced and a much harder problem you have to solve. Shatter the Swarm, you know, I just took a blue ink marker on a whiteboard and I just did it end to end. There was no rehearsal, but that was literally an articulation, probably about 50 years worth of knowledge to educate other people. Right. So, but the key thing that comes out of all this in this discussion I had, I think yesterday, I think it was with David Knight, and towards the end.
Excellent. That was a really great.
Yeah. Interview. And I think this comes to this issue of trust. What's happened little by little by little, people have been outsourcing themselves to others. Their thinking, that's one level, right? Physical labor, another level. But I would argue what they really outsource is their soul. And let me explain what I mean by that. In the Indian system, we have these different chakras, right? And these different chakras denote, there's seven of them, but actually the points on your body are everywhere, right? The nadis are everywhere.
Absolutely. Yeah. Nadis everywhere. Sure.
Right. But you can look at some of these major crossover points, and these points denote different vibrations, consciousness, etc. So what I was sharing in that was that when I was growing up as a child, my grandmother in that small village would tell me these amazing stories of, you know, from the Ramayana, the heroic journey of Rama to fight evil, right?
Sure.
These were incredible journeys. She would tell me these stories that would go on for 2-3 hours. It was like comic book. I mean, we didn't have TV. You would just listen to her in her very interesting voice, and she would share these stories, you know, very amazing stories. And they would keep continuing on and on and on. It was episodic in some sense. But they were to inspire you, which was me, this child, to be a hero. And I think deep in the soul of every human being is ultimately, I think there's a core sankalpa or a mission to fight evil. 2 years ago, I was looking for a different lawyer to work with in India for certain business stuff. And this guy said, he and I ended up talking, he sends me this book about a woman who had 2 children who had died. And then she obviously was a horrible experience. And she ended up writing a book because she ended up doing like past life regression, you know? But anyway, she wrote this book, and I've read a lot of these books. He sent it to me all the way from India when it came. I opened up the book and I said, what is this book about? Like, do I have to read the whole thing? And so I meditated and I took my hand and I put it on one page, and it said, the mission of life is to fight evil, period. That's it. And I knew that's all I needed to read that book for.
Right, perfect.
Okay? It was like a 300, 400 page book. And my finger landed right on this one part, and that was it. So why do I say this? Because you have a certain finite time in this world, right? And you think about what the meaning of life is, which is, I've thought about this since I was a child, right? Why are we here? And so this concept of us unleashing our own hero, which means you have to integrate all different parts of yourself, your physical, your mental, your soul, you know, your heart, all those things. And that hero's journey, Joseph Campbell, uncovered that in every mythology, whether it was Christianity, pagan philosophy, Hinduism, every religion he could look at, they always had this hero's journey.
Right. Well, this is in every culture. I mean, whether it's Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, whether you have the Greek and Roman stories from Right. our background culture, but we can go all the way back to Gilgamesh,
yeah,
the first book ever written in cuneiform. So this is how deep what you're talking about. That's why people really need to hear this. This is how deeply epigenetic this is in our programming.
Yeah. So the issue is, this is quite deep, right? The notion of, and just to, everyone here can go look this up, but many of the hero's journey literally have a timeline, right? And most Hollywood movies have captured this. And this is where I'll get to the outsourcing. So in this hero's journey, the individual, you know, at his first stage, you know, he comes to life. And then at some point in his life, he's faced with a major challenge, which means the opportunity to go on this journey. And typically, there's a big part of people which doesn't want to take the journey for all sorts of reasons, laziness, you know, fear, you know, other things you think are more important. And then eventually, the next phase is a mentor comes, or a sage or a guru.
Right.
And they enlighten that individual why they must pursue that journey. And some people still won't do it. And then the person goes on that journey, and then they get trained by that teacher, the training part. And then they face their first battles, and typically they have major losses in those battles, and they learn. And then they have other battles, and this can continue in variations, and they have battles where they severely lose, and they go into a great state of depression down into the cave of their own abyss. Then after that process, they come rejuvenated, they learn something very deep in there because they have to face themselves. And they come out into several other battles where they win. But through that process, they bring back typically a great lesson back to the world. It's called the resurrection process. And then you bring it back to the world. I mean, the story of Christ is one of the magnificent examples of this, right? But this occurs in many, many different cultures.
Exactly.
Now, I would argue that what has happened is those in power have studied this hero's journey. This is something I've thought about, that they understand that this is like the core of the core of the core of our operating system, of why we come here, right? And so if you could detach people from that core lesson, you've got them by the short hairs, you see? You've really got them. So in Hollywood, if you look at all these movies, they follow that formula. you know, Star Wars, right? I mean, George Lucas studied the Bhagavad Gita. He studied the Ramayana, right? He studied the Mahabharata, right? So he follows that in the journey of Luke Skywalker. It follows it perfectly. You watch Gladiator. So all of these movies are reflecting that hero's journey. And then, so those in power, I believe, understand this at such a deep level that they don't want the individual. The goal is to make sure we as individuals, individually and collectively, never go on this hero's journey, which is what the purpose of life is. So if you have people do that, you got them. Now you have truly automatons, because you have them outsource that journey to somebody else. Oh, Donald Trump is going to save you. Kamala Harris is going to save you, right? Elon Musk, you know, where government begins and Elon Musk ends, nobody knows. He's the antithetical here, fake heroes you can get, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
So Hollywood creates all, and it's very interesting. We live in the world, in the zeitgeist of these Marvel comics, right? Everyone, I mean, there's tons of them coming out over and over and over again. You have to wonder why. And
because,
so yeah,
because they work and they hijack and hack into the OS operating system of an average person. And when you're already conditioned and hypnotized, you don't even know what's happening.
Exactly. So people are outsourcing one of the most functional things that they were put on this earth for, to go through their own struggles and suffering and face themselves and face inequity, face their own weaknesses and overcome that. And that is what the hero's journey is. So now you take, if you believe that's what's going on, which I believe what's really going on, like these, I mean, the amount of money, I mean, if you go down the street here in Cambridge, there's a Harvard University there. And one of the biggest buildings in the center of Harvard Square is a William James Hall, who's known as the father of psychology. There's a tremendous amount of money that academia through the CIA and these intelligence agencies spend on psychology to understand the human, mechanistic human brain, not the soulful brain, right? But the mechanistic one.
Exactly.
And as a part of that, they've understood the instinctive mind, which is the lowest part of our intellectual framework, right? Which likes to do things in an action, in a reactive state, the intellectual part. And many people know these guys are, but the highest state of your mind is your intuitive part, the superconscious.
Right.
And the hero's journey is part of that superconscious mind, or it's right there, right? So if you can outsource that away from people, you own them at a very deep level. You don't even need to plug them into any neural link or any of that. You own them at that level. So I think that's what's going on. So when you come to these, the aspect of when we say we need to build a bottoms up movement, save yourself, or truth, freedom, health. Truth, freedom, health is literally the manifestation of the three forces of the universe, Vata, Pitta, and Kapha, phenomenon.
Absolutely, or yes.
Transport, conversion, storage, which is, so I uncovered that there's a direct one-to-one relation between engineering control system science and the ancient systems of yoga and meditation. They're the same. They just use different words. So that-
Yeah, but once you understand system, I mean, system comes from the Latin word sin, right? Which is synergy, things together. It's a holistic view of things. That's why Len is such a great doctor for 60 years of practice, because he looks at the body holistically. I teach Qigong, and I've lived in China for years, and India and Tibet, and because I was drawn out of my pre-med training at university to go study a holistic approach to body, mind, and spirit. So what's so great about you is that you are looking at this from a systems or a holistic standpoint, which people haven't done. And that's why it's so critical right now. And Len, isn't this what we're trying to do with People United, for heaven's sakes?
Oh, for sure. And I think a lot of this is done the way we want it, is through inspiration. I think inspiration is the teacher of power. We need to embrace what's good rather than just fight evil. And when we come to a place where we can embrace that, change happens inevitably. I think that we have a knee-jerk response when things are really tough. It deep in our humanity, we have kindness. We practice the golden rule. We'll give the shirt off our back to the person next to us if there's something like an earthquake or a tsunami or some national disaster. There's real good there, but there are other people who are not like that. And I don't know if they're people at all. I don't know what they are.
No, and look what Dr. Shu is saying is that that hero's journey has been hijacked from the average person without them even knowing it.
Yeah.
And fear is probably the biggest intrusion in that, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think what we have to have is curiosity about what's happening rather than fear. And that's what saves us from having the knee-jerk response of retreating and being vulnerable to being controlled.
So Dr. Schaefer, what do you see in all the teaching of all the people around the world that you have been educating? And we'll give the links to your website. Don't worry about that. People need to see it and participate. But the biggest question is people want to know, what do I do now?
Yeah, so let me make a couple of points, and I want to share what that path is. First of all, a couple of points here. There has been this set of ancient teachings for a long time, thousands of years. Now, they articulated those teachings in a language, in a lingua franca, that was typically foreign when Westerners came across them, right?
Right.
So if you go look at the early people in the United States who experienced some of this, you had Vivekananda, who came here in the 1800s, right, from India. Then you had Yogananda, right? Then you had Maharishi, Mahesh Yogi, right? And they all had these robes and beards and, you know, long hair, right? And then you had people like Krishnamurti, right? And then you had the hippie culture in the 60s. So people were experiencing little frames, right, of what they thought was Eastern spirituality. And then America,
without a contextual framework at all.
And during this period, for 400 years when the British were in India, they destroyed a lot of these, they poo-pooed them, you know, allopathic stuff dominated. Parents would send their kids to traditional or conventional medical school training. A lot of the Siddha and Ayurvedic centers and yoga centers were destroyed. So what ended up happening was, when Westerners came across these teachings, the New Age movement, if you remember that, 70s, 80s, 90s, the New Age movement starts coming. And the core of these, the foundations of these teachings weren't fully understood. So they became guru worship, right? So, you know, guys I know or used to know more closely, like Deepak Chopra,
right,
tried to understand Ayurveda, but he couldn't.
So no, he played the game. I've dealt a lot with him. Trust
that's
me.
What I'm saying.
He falls prey right to the same.
Right. So in that period, you had a lot of people writing books and quantum healing and mumbo jumbo. They didn't really understand this, you know? And my journey in watching all of this is because I saw my grandmother in this village. I mean, if you saw her, she would, you know, as I mentioned, tattoos all over her arms. She's worked in the fields for 16 hours, but she was a village healer. She wasn't like some namby-pamby new age person. And this, I want to address this issue, because people have a very weird notion what kindness and love really means. It's been in some ways eviscerated. You know, the soul of kindness and love has been eviscerated at a deep level, because it's been absorbed into some. The people who are the most kindness that I've met and loving were one of the most ferocious people. They were very protective, and they were like vigilant. You see, it's a very different kind of love and kindness. They were deeply loving and kind, but it was a wholesome. It was a fullness of this love, you see? I can see my great-grandfather right now working in the field, and he looked like an eagle, literally.
Hmm.
And anyone needed help, he would give everything off his back. But he didn't fuck around with people, you see? It wasn't like, oh, everyone's kind and loving. You know, I'm going to, you know, hold your chakras together. No, it was a very different way. But he would do all these intense sadhanas, right? So I just want to give people an understanding that the love and the kindness that I've seen among truly kind people is not this very namby-pamby surface thing, you see?
Well, let's go to that original concept of trust we had.
Yeah.
Your grandfather had a trust in himself.
Yeah, he was a guy who was the age of 12, you know, grew up with nothing. I mean, just like living like a tribal, right? Decides he wants to, you know, have a life. And it's of living, and they literally lived in the woods, right? Decides in those days, people took a ship to Burma. Burma was seen as a land of riches. So at the age of 12, he asked his brother for some money so he could take a ship, so he didn't have to be a slave, an indentured slave, to Burma. His brother wouldn't give it to him. And he said, on that day, I cut off my relations with my brother. I realized that, you know, he'd rather I be a slave. So he was very cut and dry. Mm-hmm. So he works on the slave ship as an indentured servant. And he apparently worked so hard, the captain of the ship was so moved that he let him out of his three-year bond.
Wow.
And then he goes to Burma, works his butt off. He does anything, you know, works as a shipyard worker, sells idlis on the street, whatever he could. And eventually he acquires some means over time. And he becomes a pretty significant landowner, a zamindar in Burma. And World War II comes and people are being devastated. So he takes, and by the way, during this period, you have to understand Burma was a place of Buddhism and cobras.
Right, okay? Exactly.
So Burma was a center point of the fighting in World War II in Southeast Asia, right? So you had Americans there, the British there, and the Japanese there. There were internment camps. My dad would take food to the, and he said he would deliver, he would throw food into the camps for the American soldiers. Very interesting stories. But in the middle of all of this, World War II comes and people are being devastated. So my great-grandfather decides to leave back to India. He has a dream that things are going to get really bad. But he takes all of his land. I think we've lost Kent, right? But he takes all of his land. Mm-hmm. And he gives it back. He cuts it up and he builds homes for all the refugees, gives it back, right, and heads back to India with nothing. So, mm-hmm. Right. So it was this concept of you have stuff, you may not have stuff, but this concept of giving. So that's what I saw in him, right? And all the people that I was exposed to like that. So here my grandmother has no degrees, right? And the Siddha and the Ayurveda that she practiced, I saw her empirically heal people in that village. So this is what motivated me at a kid of 4, 5, 6 years old, sure, right, to pursue all this. And I saw the Indian caste system, which was absolutely abusive. I mean, as a kid, I'm going to a well, to a home with my friend, and the mother, who's a Brahmin, spits on me, right, called the equivalent of the N word, screaming at me. And I mean, as a 4-year-old child, you don't know enough about this. My mom said, oh yeah, when I go to the well, the Brahmins call me a pig and they say, it was, so you have to understand that there is a level of serious, serious, serious inequities here. And when I experienced this, so here I saw my grandmother practice as ancients as a medicine healing people. And then here, right, I see the caste system, you see? And so this led me to this long process of trying to unravel this. And what I unraveled was that there was a period in Indian history where, you know, you had the guild system. People did the particular jobs, right, that they were supposed to do because it was just a division of labor. And at some point, Hinduism was hijacked to create this concept of the caste system and promote it. That was up until the 8th century all the way to the 15th century.
Right.
By the 15th century, there were spiritual leaders who were saying, wait a minute, this doesn't sound right. Shankaracharya and a lot of the modern Hindu, or the one branch of Hinduism, said, wait a minute, this is not right. If there's equality in heaven, why isn't there equality on earth? And you have this political movement infused with a real sense of righteousness, the bhakti movement. You talked about heart. Bhakti is one. There's bhakti yoga, which focuses on the heart, which is heart-centered yoga, right? You're not doing postures like hatha yoga, or you're not trying to leave your body like Soto Shabda yoga. You're focused on heart and singing and kirtans, right?
Right.
And that movement is what explosively grew across India, and it was demolishing the caste system. By the 15th, 16th century, the caste system in India was being destroyed. When the British came to India, they resurrected that caste system because it was a great way of controlling people, right? You do this, you do this. It's a great way of organizing people. That's what it was for. So I give you that history because I did not have the luxury of just going and studying with my grandmother, you know, oh, let me just study Ayurveda, that said then meditate and have a beautiful glow to my face and connect with God, right? That's one view. I'm giving a reductionist view. I had to deal with that. I knew was real. You know, all the stuff I saw my grandparents doing, channeling and, you know, incredible mystical experiences I witnessed. Mm-hmm. And over here was a caste system, right? So here was my deep love of meditation and yoga and medicine, but the reality of politics, of how the world operated. Now, getting back to this core sense of archetypes, you know, the archetype of fighting against evil and medicine are the same.
We have allowed our country to be taken over from within, and the end goal is you will have a homogenized world where we will become slaves, because there is a condition among the elites that really thinks they're better than you, deep down inside them, that you don't deserve the freedoms you have. They don't. This reality is what people need to wake up to, and we need to all unite working people. There's only one movement that can do that, and that is the movement that we started creating here in Massachusetts, the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health. Look, I've been a student of politics since I was a four-year-old kid, studying revolutionary movements, left wing, right wing. There's a physics, there's a nuclear science to destroying the establishment. To build a bridge, you need to understand Newton's equation. You need to understand the laws of gravity. You need to understand Poisson's ratio. There is a way to build a revolution. And that's why I put this together. My goal is to train a army of truth, freedom, and health leaders. We don't need followers like social media. We need leaders, but they need training because the educational system does not teach them history, nothing. So in 3 hours, that's what I've started doing. That's the solution. Wow. We got to train people first with understanding what a system is, the dynamics of all systems that affect nature. The second is understanding the interconnection between truth, freedom, and health. Freedom is the ability to move freely, communicate freely, talk freely. Without freedom, you cannot convert ideas, hypothesis into truth, which is science. And without freedom, you can't really get to truth. And without truth, you make up fake problems and fake solutions, which means you destroy our health. And without health, which is the infrastructure of us and our body, you can't fight for freedom. Truth, freedom, health. Third concept is it has to be bottoms up, working people, people who work uniting. And what the right wing has done is whenever you say working people unite, that must be communist. Meanwhile, they've let the Democrats run unions, which suppress workers, completely corrupt. But when you look at the arc of American history, it's been when working people came up. We need to go local. Every solution I'm coming up with is a part of this movement. We're giving the science, which is the truth, and then we tell people what they can do on the ground. Like with election fraud, you don't need to wait for some lawyer. Our goal is to train people to go local, to go local, to go local, fight locally. Forget lawyers, forget politicians, forget celebrities. You've got to learn politics, and there is a science to it. They lock us down, we should be ready to shut them down. And the fourth part of this principle is the not so obvious establishment. So when you look at a system, there's always something that disturbs you from getting to your goal. Well, the biggest disturbance is the not so obvious establishment, which are those people who claim they're for you on the left and the right, the Al Sharptons who tell black people I'm for you, the Tucker Carlsons. Do you think any true anti-establishment person will ever be on Fox or CNN? I don't think so. They both mislead working people back into the establishment. Without this solid understanding of political physics and theory, you're screwed. You're going to follow on the left wing Bernie Sanders. Oh, he said something. Or Robert Kennedy. Scumbags. Or you're going to follow some right-wing talk show host. They're not going to lead us to liberation. It's us. We're building a bottoms-up movement. And that political physics, it's a nuclear science of change. Bottoms up. We have to organize to understand that there is people who talk a good game and then look at what they actually do, left and right. I'm sorry, Sean Hannity may say some good things, but I don't see the urgency in his voice to get something done. And it can only come when you weaponize yourself with the right knowledge. You need to be able to identify a rat. You know, Christ didn't go after the Romans, right? It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees who screwed him up. His own quote-unquote people. And that's where we're at. So these four concepts I've built into a curriculum where people can go to truthfreedomhealth.com, and it's an educational program. We need to train people in political theory. You need to have physics, and I've created that curriculum. People need to get educated. We need to get educated fast. And within a half an hour, I can teach people 2 years of MIT control systems. I teach people those concepts. Then I apply it. Anyone can understand it. And then you say, oh, I got to build a bottoms-up movement. They have to get politically astute, and then they have to go locally and act, not sit there on social media. They have to act locally, defy locally, do civil obedience locally, but with knowledge on how to build a movement. Now, the Senate campaign's expanded to the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health, and they can find it on truthfreedomhealth.com. so people can sign in. They can get access to a bunch of videos. If they want to take a course and become a Truth Freedom Health leader, I offer a full scholarship there. But we want people to make a commitment that they'll study, that they'll get certified, that they'll go do activities on the ground. So go to truthfreedomhealth.com.
Snakes and the caduceus are both. You're doing both. Your healing is not just giving someone medicine, but you also have to fight the existing establishment at the time. The Siddhars were highly anti-establishment. Some of them were persecuted, you see? So you cannot divorce yourself. And that's really one of the core messages. So when I saw this New Age movement coming, I would see people embracing yoga, right? Oh, but I don't want to be political. Oh, that's not for me. We all just love each other and things just happen. Well, that's not how shit works.
And look where it's gotten us. Sorry about that.
Actually, people who are antithetical, they think you're actually a fool and you can be as spiritual as you want, but there are actually people that you cannot even fathom who are absolutely on a different framework of existence. This is why in all the great, be Christian or Indian or any text. In the Hindu text, you have one of the characters is Murugan, Karthikeyan, who's a son of Shiva. Well, he is the one who is the healer and he is the fighter. So it is Murugan who chases out when there's a huge fight between the Asuras, the devils, and the Devas, the angels. It is Murugan with his staff who chases out, who leads the fight against the devils, and he chases them out of heaven.
So how did we get to this place now where people have stopped fighting and have become complacent?
Because what has happened in a very specific way, I would say, was the 1960s, and I sort of dissected and found. So, but I also want to point out, in the Catholic Christian Church, there was Saint Michael. Saint Michael is the one who who chased out Lucifer from heaven. But he's also the god that, or the deity, or the spirit that you pray to for healing. So healing, right, and fighting evil were one and the same. And we separated them.
Martial artist I ever studied with in China,
yeah,
were healers and warriors.
Warrior monks.
And they told me, you had to be a warrior monk. I hung out in Tibet and Bhutan and lots of places
So they literally split that. And by the way, the study of yoga or all this stuff was an end process. You learned all these techniques after you prove you're a good human being. So in the yogic training, you went through do you have discipline? Do you have ethics? Your teacher took you through, and at the end of that process where you taught all the great mystical arts, but they didn't teach this stuff to just random people, because people could use these phenomenal knowledge for evil too.
Maybe this is part of the problem, Dr. Shiva. I don't think that it's just a fight against evil. I mean, that's a knee-jerk response that's easy to see. But what I think we're doing with People United is more looking at how to build inspiration with people with things that are positive, to try and build the good things back. If we're engaged in a war, there's going to be a fight, there's going to be division, we're going to be separated into different segments of the world. So I think it's a coming together that's going to be successful. And it's what I like about what you're talking about when you talk about the good things that you talk about. I think if we do that and we come together and we build community from the grassroots, which is what you're trying to do and what we're trying to do with town hall meetings, I see a future in this process so that the will of the people supersedes the will of the government, which is what it's supposed to be done, but it's done through a peaceful way. All too often, what we respond to when there's a difference of opinion of one country and another is we're gonna send our boys out to fight your boys and fight the things that are wrong. 10 years later, we sit down at the table after a lot of dead kids out there and say, let's work this out and look at the peaceful, right things to do. So I wonder how you feel about that.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. So look, those in power, so there's two parts. Those in power divide us.
Yes.
But this does not mean, so the word unity is a very, very, I'll tell you the problems I have with unity when people, so when I was exposing this guy, Booby effing Kennedy, okay? Yeah. And I had to do the dirty work, right? Because
right on.
I lost 20% of people there. And then Booby, I hit him really hard because I realized how evil this guy is, right? And then he wrote a hit piece on me calling Dr. Shiva's trying to splinter the movement. We must unify.
Yeah.
And then he went on to say that I am friends with Hillary Clinton. Just made up shit.
Yeah.
That I'm friends with Bill Gates and that I run a pharma company that makes vaccines. I mean, it's like classic Kennedy evil. Wow. Okay. You have to understand certain people, Len, are absolutely evil and you cannot even fathom it. I took him to court and he kept running away from service. We filed a lawsuit on him. Okay. So what I'm trying to say is, so I said, unity, we're not here to unify with evil. You have to understand. Yes. We, the people must unify.
Yes.
But I am absolutely against fighting them because they are against our unity. You see? So the word unity has, because a lot of people, because they don't want to bring up that energy where they have to face evil and fight. They said, oh, I believe in unity. I think we're all brothers and sisters. We all need to come together. They pussyfoot away. That is a fucked up unity.
Yeah.
Okay?
And we have to never work. I mean, I studied utopian societies in high-level political science classes in GW University. It doesn't work.
Right. That's not what I'm saying is we have to understand there are fundamental contradictions in the world. But those, the evil people whose mindset we can't even fathom, and I don't care to.
But let's call these the swarm so people know.
Yeah, the swarm. So people go to Shadow the Swarm. They literally, their goal. So if you look at any system in the universe, first thing, intelligent systems have a goal. What is the goal? Well, the good people's goal that you're talking about, Len, is we want truth, we want freedom, we want health, we want community, we want to live a long and prosperous life. These people have a very different goal. They want power, they want profit, they want control. And it's a very small set of them, a small set of devils.
Yes.
So in their worldview, how do I maximize power, profit, and control? No different than a thermostat. You want to keep it at a, you want to keep, you know, or you want to grow the stock market, all right? That's your goal. So in order to do that, they send certain inputs into this thing called society. And the inputs they feed, no different than an intelligent system, because their goal is power, profit, control. Their goal is to infuse it with this idea that only they are the heroes, that you must come to them and bow down to them for solutions.
And depend on them.
And depend on them. So they create two wings of that. They create the obvious wing for the really dumb people to be captured into, right? What I call the obvious establishment. But the more insidious thing they do is they create the not so obvious establishment. The people who mimic and say all the right words that people want to hear. And this is what all the ancient literature and the great wisdom talked about, right? From Shakespeare to every great is not the obvious thing you can see. In fact, they're doing you an obvious good. You know that's bad. The people who sugarcoat and talk all the right things. Oh, yeah, I'm against, I'm for children's health. Really? You're for children's health, but you just said you were okay for bombing Palestine. You see? And the seeming contradictions, they force people to run under the rug. And when you expose them, they say, oh, you're dividing the movement. Booby says a lot of good things. Trump says a lot of good things, right? Why are you exposing their? No, that's precisely what needs to be exposed.
Maybe it's a blend of the two things.
What do you mean?
Not accepting evil ever, but building on the goodness of we the people. If we can.
Well, that's a different thing, Ken. But I'm talking about conscious leaders who know this dynamic.
I get it.
You see, and they actually know the dynamic that I'm talking about.
And they're using it against the average person.
Exactly. Yeah. Booby so Kennedy's image, which I have, he knows the dynamic of the not so obvious establishment. You see, Malcolm X was very clear, very precise, very different than Martin Luther King. Gandhi, people think he was some great hero. He was put there, and it's very hard for people to break from these mindsets because here were the British, the obvious establishment in India, and there was a revolutionary movement which said, these people have oppressed us for 300 years. I mean, think about what the British did when the Muslim workers were making textiles in India had a very awesome, incredible industry. The British cut the thumbs off all these 5,000 Muslim workers. It's pure evil. Yeah. So they could. So I mean, I don't think it's hard for the average person to appreciate. There are people who are not probably even human beings, whatever they are. Okay,
yeah. Right.
And that's who I'm talking about. And those people understand the dynamics of evil, and they understand most people are good-hearted people. They don't even think like this.
Yes.
So I had to go through the journey to uncover how these people think. And that's where you become a real warrior, and you become a defender of people, because now you have to educate people. Don't be a dumb fuck. Don't think these people are out to help you, no matter what they say. And that's so you have to say things at the right time that may not be popular. In 2020, I was the one who first exposed this pandemic stuff. We put it out there. And then as I understood Kennedy, you could see that this guy's just milking people, right? Trump, same thing. So I could have become a uniter, quote unquote, and said, we're all in this together. But there are fundamental contradictions. And I had many, many opportunities to be co-opted. But yeah. These people, so once you say that and you think you're unifying them, you have to break people away from them, Len. And that is a struggle. That is a much harder problem to solve. And this is why evil has sustained itself, because people under the name of unity, diplomacy, would sort of cover those things up. Like my mom was very clear when she saw someone she would distance herself very quickly. My dad would try to, in my own family, try to ameliorate these differences. He was a very kind-hearted person. But invariably, these people are evil. They would fuck them up, you see? So I'm saying that we need to have the wisdom. We come as doves to this world, but we must leave as eagles.
Right. And so let's say
there's a fire that, and so I'm saying unity. Yeah. Unity and love and kindness is, we need to recognize that they actually take advantage of people and they recognize our good heartedness. How did people come to the United States, use the philosophy of manifest destiny, and wipe out 100 million Indians?
Yeah. Right.
Go read Columbus's diary. It's quite fascinating. When he lands on the shores of the Americas, he says, these people are truly the people of God. They give freely of everything they have. They're absolutely loving and kind. And then he says, with 50 good men, I can exploit and subjugate all of them.
Sick.
Okay? So I'm saying that concept, Len, I don't think it's fully understood. A guy like me who had to grow up in this brown skin body, who experienced oppression, and speak to that. And I'm speaking to white folks out there. All of you who are learning Indian stuff, learning these wonderful things. Yes. Understand, don't lose the fire, because then you're basically under the name of unity. You're going to let snakes come in. And this is what's happened. So consistently since 1960s till today, 70s were when the elites really consolidated. They have calculated this land. They create these fake heroes, Tulsi Gabbard. And overnight they can make them. Jill Stein is their latest one. Okay.
Yeah.
The establishment has a two-headed monster. It has the obvious one, and it has the other one that they continually create. And I think the goal of existence is for people to go through this hero's journey where they become wise.
Right. And what happens? The end result is that you take on the power yourself.
Yes.
You realize I can't depend on anyone else. Even if I want to, even if in my biggest beautiful fantasy is that Trump or Harris or somebody's going to save my life, there's a moment of that cognitive dissonance where you've got to suspend it and say, I am the hero. I am capable of
this. And I must unite with other people.
Yes.
Of like mind and spirit.
So that's what, now you can talk about unity. Let's not put unity first and shove under the rug these fundamental contradictions. Okay.
That's what I like about what you're doing.
So we're saying first, let's understand the physics here. Like, what the hell, how did we get here? What are the dynamics? That's why Shatter the Swarm, you understand it. And then we tell people to go there. And then what I did was about the beginning of this year, we asked a lot of people in our movement, like, how did you find us? Oh, I saw the climate change video where you illuminated me on the climate scam. Or I saw this video on the educational scam. Or I saw, so we put all of those together because people are just bumping into them accidentally. So we said, let's make this a little more organized. We put all of those videos in a series. It's called the Get Off the Plantation series. And we give that away because I want people, before they even start talking and we have conversation, I want to make sure they've gone through kindergarten, they've gone through adolescence, and they've gone through some high school training, because we're talking about shattering the swarm. We're talking about fundamentally changing the dynamics. It's no different than trying to get an airplane off the ground. Do you think we just sort of will it? No, you have to understand Bernoulli's principle. You have to understand how to engineer a wing. If you want to cure someone's physical body, you have to understand the dynamics of the body. You have to understand information, matter, and energy. And you have to go through a process. So this is why nothing has significantly changed since the time of slaves, in some sense, right? I mean, we've had made certain gains, but explosive changes haven't occurred because there's been this lack of understanding that there is a physics. And that's what I really uncovered, Len. It is taking control system theory, linking it to ancient systems, yoga and medicine. And what has emerged out of that is a set of scientific principles, no different than, you know, Maxwell's equations. These right. principles are non-intuitive and are counterintuitive. We have to let go of this namby-pamby view of the world and recognize I have to put a little bit of time. So once people understand this, now they're armed and really able to be a real powerful warrior, and they can really love people.
Yeah, and don't you think, Shiva, the big thing here is that people have forgot the energetic nature of ourselves. Right. We've forgot yeah. that energetic needs the power of thought, the power of intention, the power
information, matter and energy, Francesco.
So exactly.
But information is thought. You have energy. And so in the ancient systems of yoga and meditation, you had Purusha, Prakriti and the Gunas, you see.
Right.
Information theory called information, matter and energy. Right. So the reality is that a thought, you know, permeates everyone. Also, this raising of consciousness. So our goal, why did I decide to run for president? Well, simple thing. Because when I ran for Senate last time, I never believed in the electoral process. I've always believed in bottoms-up movements.
Right.
But I decided that if you consciously run and you don't mislead people, I didn't say, oh, I'm going to win president and save you. No. I said, we're going to run in this time frame, because during a 30-day, 60-day process or even 5-day process before November 5th, people sort of want to be political. So you have a time when people are awakening to inject with them an understanding of a much higher standard of what it means to be a good citizen.
Right.
And that's what we've been doing. So we say to people, save yourself. We know social media is completely controlled now, as never before. So our goal is we get people on the ground. That was a big thing, getting people realizing, unplug and go and talk to your neighbors. That's a big, big thing. Then when you get on the ground, what conversations you're going to have with people? Well, invite them to save themselves. Find those people who want to actually fight and then give them the tools. All right. So that process has been extraordinary, because now we have a global movement, 500,000 people. There are leaders which have emerged bottoms up, people who understand these concepts of varying degrees of knowledge. But it's literally a framework now for people to grow, but in a very mature way. But we are also recognizing there are people who may need to go through their journeys. They may need to get screwed over by Booby Kennedy. They may need to go through Trump and realize what he is. You know, one model is you try to convince them. No. But maybe, so we tell people if they don't get it, and we have many people who spent 2 to 3 years with Kennedy and realize, oh my God, da, 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 da. Oh my God. But they had to go through that. And that's why sometimes the intellectual knowledge is not sufficient. They have to have the experience too. Other people have gone through life journeys. They've been screwed over enough. They're street smart. If you grew up in Jersey, right, or a place like Newark. So when you're street smart, you have the native intelligence, and then the framework that we give makes people really nail it. It's like you can throw the ball really well as a baseball player, and then you get a really good coach. So the goal here is to get at these, the goal is to shatter the swarm. Well, how do we do that? Yes, we, the people, need to be united, but we're not going to, for the sake of unity, people do this in families, for the sake of unity, they brush up under the fact that the guy is sick and he comes and beats people every day. Well, for the sake of unity, and people live in this quiet lives of desperation. So I'm saying, that unity is not the unity that I seek, but I do seek unity among people who want to fight that evil.
Right. And this is where we see domestic violence and why domestic violence perpetuates. I've done lots of work
for
nonprofit. people want that unity to say, I can make this work, I can make it happen, but it's impossible. It's not in your wheelhouse to try to unify the really bad parts that you don't understand. You're not professional enough to do it. It's the same thing.
You can waste your life.
Exactly. And you don't do a service to the whole that way. So we've got a situation now where we have really good people, and we're going to be putting this video out to lots of really good people who I care about deeply. We're going to have a really hard time because they want to make, and this is a tough statement that's never sat well with me, but people say it all the time, the lesser of two evils. Now, I don't want this to be political. You are running for president. But when I talk about politics, I'm Italian, so I know Latin a fair bit. Politics, just like the word Garipoli, poli means people. When you talk about politics, you're talking about people. You're not talking about those candidates. You're talking about people. What's great about you is when you talk about politics, Shiva, you're talking about the people. And that's what we all have to have courage now about, that this is about each of us. Can we belly up and rise up to our potential? What's it going to take to have
people? That's what it is. What we have set in our framework for running for president is a very high standard. The standard, so people say, oh, you can't win. Okay, so we have to analyze that. You can't win. So we have to define what winning is.
You can't lose doing what you're
doing. Right, exactly.
That's what I'm saying. You nailed it, Len. And others can't lose by raising their consciousness to the conversation we're having here. If people understood the infinite power within them, there's 8 billion of us. You have to ask this question. How is it 100,000, 200,000 people are running 8 billion people? That's right. Why the Shatter the Swarm video illuminates people. It gives the dynamics. So how is it this happening? So first of all, is it that they're smarter? Is it that how do they acquire all this power? And you realize it is through a very dynamic process of power, profit, control, and a control system. It's system science. They're using the same principles that drive yoga and meditation and healing systems in a different way, to manipulate for power, profit, control. And this is why many of these ancient systems of medicine and yoga, the teacher was very, very clear on what students that they took.
Right.
A student had to have certain character. Okay. So I frankly am not interested in teaching this to people who don't have the right character. If they think, quote unquote, a fake unity, et cetera, or they think that it's okay that Trump said this, but you know, he says this, you see? So to the people listening out there, I think the thing that one needs to understand, this is not about them. This is about you. This is really about you. So I did a tweet this morning. I said, you know, these elections are selections. They are. Sure, I mean, end to end, from ballot access to who gets visibility. And I was the one in 2020 who mathematically showed how they flip votes, signature verification. So I've done this, right? I know this. And I was a victim of it in my Senate race. And it doesn't matter. They victimized, but we exposed it to the world.
Yeah.
So elections are selections, number one. The other thing is, the Zionists, those in power, the swarm, is right now simply doing the final calculations of who between Trump and Harris, who they both own, would be the best at deceiving people. That's the calculus that's taking place. Who will make everyone feel united? And don't take this the wrong way. Who will make people feel good, but we will still continue our policies?
That's exactly right.
That's what they're doing. So they're using unite. So Kamala Harris uses unity. Trump uses unity in a different way. But the Zionist elites who want to just take over the world, they are right now calculating who can best deceive people. And they may find that, you know, it's like they're doing A/B testing and marketing. So those people in your community listening, understand that these people are very sophisticated. They're running a big ad program right now. Do you want to buy, you were selling a product, do you want to use this ad campaign, which is...
This is A/B testing all the way.
You know? They're doing A/B testing. So the ads, so the swarm is over here. They have two testing. They have two marketing. They have Trump marketing the swarm and Kamala Harris marketing the swarm. Which one will you buy? Which one will you buy, hook, line, and sinker, to think they're going to be the kumbaya? You see? And it may be Kamala Harris. It may be they will make her win on a landslide. Maybe. Or they may choose Trump because maybe he'll butcher he'll say, you know, he said, finish the job in Iran, right? Or finish the job, right? And Trump has brought together all these snakes. Vivek the Snake, I call him.
Booby. People lose no matter who wins that election.
Right. But Len, what they've done is Trump has united. He's done united. He's united. Yep. All the people who are the massive manipulators, Tucker Carlson, complete prick. Okay. JD Vance, a hillbilly, Vivek the Snake, overnight he appears. He ran a pharma company stealing people's money. Or Booby effing Kennedy, who openly tells people personal integrity and public integrity are two different things.
Yeah, right? But there's real good news here, actually. And that's the fact that the American Revolution back in 1776 maybe had 4% of the population that was unified that created this change. So we don't have to get 150
you
million.
You don't need a lot of people.
We just need a few million people who are unified and in solidarity to follow the things that you're talking about. And it's why Francesco and I wanted this interview and why we support you.
Thank you, Len. Thank you, Francesco. Yeah, no. I think the notion of unity you've shared, Len, I think we've had a good time to talk about this. Mm-hmm. It's the notion of unity that does not mean, and to answer your question, Francesco, those people want to be united. When they say the lesser of two evils, this is a completely different dynamic we're talking about. This is not unity.
This is the
opportunity with my running for president at a deeply conscious level is to vote or write in Dr. Shiva. And when you do that, it's not about me. It's not about them. It's about you. You are saying that I'm off the plantation. I've unplugged from this nonsense. I want to build a bottoms up movement that I, with a community of other people who recognize this is just Maya. It's illusion. It's pure illusion.
Right.
And that's the opportunity. But if people want to live in that illusion and choose the lesser of evils under the name of unifying something, they're not unifying anything. What they're doing is they're giving up their soul.
And what's not illusion is that we carry the power in our heart, in our spirit, in our energy field to make a change. And back to our beautiful Indian models, you know, Maharishi Mahesh Yogi has done tons of studies of how 500 people, just 500 people can come together, meditate, and then statistically change the crime signature of that particular city where they're meditating. These are well known, but people forget this stuff. So we have to remember our power. And I want to close today with this idea of how can we vote consciously, even though it maybe doesn't move the needle as much as you think, but it will start to set a rhythm about what it means to bring the power back to each of us.
Well, actually, Francesco, it's much more powerful than that. If you go look at 2020, when we were exposing Trump and Kennedy, I was a lone voice doing it. Now, if you do a tweet, everyone's attacking these guys using those same arguments.
Exactly.
What I would say is that information, matter, and energy. Once one monkey on the island learns how to open the coconut, there's something powerful going on. That consciousness is like a wave. So once people understand these concepts that I'm talking about, even the 10, 20, 30, 40,000 people you have, it's a wave that's going to affect a billion people overnight.
Right. We have to trust that.
And the elites know this. They do a lot of research on telepathy. You know, telepathy is an actual phenomenon. Absolutely. That was shown to be a living phenomenon. Even at the American Academy of Sciences, there's a very interesting researcher who looked at the systematic review. So we know thought travels. We know consciousness is a wave.
Absolutely.
Now, the kind of consciousness we're talking about is at a very root operating system. When someone gets this, it's a wave that travels even faster. It's much higher vibration rate.
Yeah, it's non-local.
So one person understanding, what is unity? What is the hero's journey? What is the swarm? I mean, you're getting knowledge that you can't get at MIT, you can't get at Harvard, you can't get anywhere. And that's what this is about. So it's taken me, you know, a lifetime to understand this, organize it, put it into a framework. You don't have to go to MIT, but this is a knowledge. One person gets it, they're equivalent to like 100 million people. It's that's a potency amazing. Of the knowledge, no different than if you want to start a fire, you could burn 1,000 trees down or a million trees. Or you could just hit an atom at the nucleus in one spot, and you need just a little bit of plutonium.
Right.
Very different. You see what I'm saying? So this is what we're talking about. It's a quality of the knowledge, the quality of the consciousness that is very powerful. So like splitting the atom, we're not telling people go burn down a million trees. We're saying, understand the system's knowledge. You become a very powerful being because you can no longer be duped.
Exactly. And when you're free and sovereign, and you're with free and sovereign people, which is what our concept of People United is,
I think.
Cut out the people who don't get it. It's okay. Exactly. You don't need them. But the people who do get it, you stay loving and kind to the people who don't get it. But once people come together and that entanglement starts to take place, it's going to be good for your own healing. So be selfish, because it's going to help your life get better. You know, your life is not going to be the shit show you think it is now, or you're not going to be scared, because you'll have transformed that fear into intuition. And that's what we're doing here. So
I agree. Well, I really thank you for your guys' support, and we should work together more closely.
That'd be great.
Well, you're awesome. We already have you on our map. You see a map we have at People United, where there's places, a visual, people like visuals. You can go click on a dot and there you can go to your website instantly with that. And I just ask the people who are listening to keep an open mind. And it's so good to think positively and think about everything's going to work out. But this is an individual spiritual journey each of us are on. And Dr. Shiva, you're awesome for being able to be courageous to talk politics at one end, warrior, healing. That's what systems studies is about. It means holistic. We have to start looking things holistically. And we can pull ourselves out of this. This is about us. It's our individual journey. Dr. Saputo, thank you. You're awesome. And we will continue to support each other and do whatever we can, Dr. Shiva. And we're with you on this amazingly courageous journey you're on.
Thank you very much, Francesco. Thank you, Len. Thank you for your be well. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. Peace.
Who would have ever thought I'd be running for president of the United States of America? I was born a low-caste untouchable in India's caste system, a system of aristocracy, oppression, and racism. My name is Dr. Shiva Ayyadure. I'm an MIT PhD, a Fulbright scholar, a scientist, engineer, entrepreneur, and inventor. My family and I left India to come to America on my 7th birthday. I grew up in the working-class neighborhoods of New Jersey, playing baseball, mowing lawns, painting houses, and coding software. My friends and neighbors were blacks, Italians, Irish, people of all races. As a 14-year-old, I wrote 50,000 lines of software code to create the world's first email system and was awarded the first U.S. copyright for email, recognizing me as its official inventor at a time when copyright was the only way to protect software inventions. I did that long before I ever came to MIT, revealing that big innovations can occur anytime, any place, by anybody. Growing up, I saw politicians dividing us by race and religion in both America and India to have us fighting each other while they remained safe in their gated communities and in their playgrounds of Hollywood, Martha's Vineyard, and Silicon Valley. I'm a fighter. I fought racism and exposed their imperialist wars, fought for workers, and put my life on the line against global corruption. I never wanted to run for political office. All that changed when I saw working Americans as never before being duped by the establishment and the not so obvious establishment. Across left and right, we were being sold out and made to forget why we came to America and why America existed. Lawyers, academics, billionaires, celebrities and politicians, elites, Clintons, Kennedys, Bidens, Obamas, Bushes, black and white have hijacked America. They printed trillions for their friends. They delivered crumbling infrastructure, corruption and racism. They've transferred trillions to themselves, dividing black and white, fear-mongering and fake science. Lockdowns and censorship, dirty air, food and water, pushing drugs upon us, making us sicker. We've been sold out. One set of rules for them and another for us. We deserve a warrior with a history of courage in putting everything on the line for you, who believes in you, not them, who has created a movement bottoms up for truth, freedom, health. I've exposed their lies at the right time, never waiting until it was popular. I've exposed their false gods who exist to lead you back to them. I've exposed their fake science of lockdowns and masking and provided you solutions to fight them and win and protect your immune system, saving millions. I exposed Fauci, galvanized the Fire Fauci campaign when others remained silent. When they stole our election, we sued the government and Twitter in our historic 2020 federal lawsuit, exposing in bare view the government and big tech censorship infrastructure, the unholy alliance between government and social media companies. Where was Elon and his grifters? They stood by the sidelines and did nothing. They did not use their megaphones to help us when it could have made a big difference. Now our movement grows for truth, freedom, health, independent of all of them. Every day, millions are learning the science of systems, the knowledge the elites do not want you to have, so you may learn how to think, stand up, and fight, independent of the establishment of left and right and their fake heroes. Now it's time for you to join the movement to win back America, to win back truth, win back freedom, win back your health. That's why I'm running for President of the United States. This race is about you. This race is about truth, freedom, health versus power, profit, control. We've had enough. They think we'll fall in line and vote again for their lawyers, celebrities, billionaires, and chosen ones from above. We choose our heroes from below, from the rank and file, who do what is right at the right time, not when it's convenient and popular. They can never represent us. What America needs is a movement by the working people, for the working people, who are educated, organized, decentralized, and fight for independence from their systems of control. And that movement exists. It's ready for you. We don't need them. We need us to go bottoms up, neighbor to neighbor. My journey, your journey, are all the same. It's our time. It's time we had one of us. It's time to win back truth, freedom, health, to win back America. Be part of this historic movement all the way to our victory on November 5th, 2024. If you're an American citizen, pledge your vote now for Dr. Shivaya Duray, the independent candidate for U.S. president. No matter where you live, you can be a part of this. Volunteer as little as 20 minutes a day. Don't delay. This is Dr. Shivaya Duray, and I approve this message, paid for by Dr. Shiva for president. Welcome to VA Shiva. VA Shiva is a product of my journey across East and West, science and tradition, ancient and modern, that brings you the science of systems so you can become a force for truth, freedom, health. VA Shiva is a platform of revolutionary education, community building, and weaponry for unleashing local activism. My journey to VA Shiva begins in the chaos of Bombay, where I experienced diverse religions, languages, castes, and in a small village that had no running water, no electricity, where my grandmother, a poor village farmer, practiced Siddha, an ancient system of Indian medicine over 10,000 years old. She observed one's face, the art of Samudrika Lakshanam, to understand a body's unique constitution, allowing her to deliver the right medicine for the right person at the right time. Watching my grandmother heal others, I was inspired to study medicine, but I was also aware of the corrupt caste system of India, which denigrated a human being, where my family were considered low caste untouchables, where one's birth determined one's destiny. The grit and determination of my mother and father led them to get educated and to come to America, a one in a trillion event. Their actions inspired me to work hard and excel. While in ninth grade, I attended New York University in a computer science program, and subsequently, at the age of 14, was given a full-time job as a research fellow at what is now known as Rutgers Medical School in the heart of Newark, New Jersey. There, I investigated the system of sleep using mathematics, computer science, and biology for sudden infant death syndrome. It was there in Newark where I invented email when I was the first to convert every feature of the physical, paper-based inner office mail system, including inbox, outbox, memo, carbon copy, blind carbon copy, attachments, into its electronic equivalent, a system which I named email, a term that I was the first to coin. On August 30th, 1982, I was awarded the first U.S. copyright for the invention of this system, recognizing me as the inventor of email. At that time, copyright was the only way to protect software inventions. I went on to MIT, where I earned 4 degrees across multiple systems of engineering, electrical, mechanical, design, biological. That training led me to invent many other systems for advancing humankind. Echomail, the world's first intelligent email management system. Cytosolve, a computational biology system for eliminating animal testing to discover new medicines faster, cheaper, and safer. And to the creation of a whole systems methodology for certifying clean food. These innovations led me back on a Fulbright to India, where I discovered the missing link between Eastern medicine and Western systems theory, honoring my grandmother, to develop Your Body, Your System, a powerful tool that will help you understand how your body is a system and how the inputs of food, supplements, and exercise bring your body back to its natural system state. And Systems Health, an integrative educational discipline that is now integrated into the VA Shiva platform that will enable you to learn the science of systems, the science of everything, be it your body as a system or our society and politics as a system, to reveal the foundational interrelationships between truth, freedom, health. Now is the time for you to be the light, learn the science of systems, build community, and weaponize yourself to unleash the activism necessary to deliver truth, freedom, health in your local community. Welcome to VA Shiva.
We have allowed our country to be taken over from within, and the end goal is you will have a homogenized world where we will become slaves, because there is a condition among the elites that really thinks they're better than you, deep down inside them, that you don't deserve the freedoms you have. They don't. This reality is what people need to wake up to, and we need to all unite working people. There's only one movement that can do that. And that is the movement that we started creating here in Massachusetts, the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health. Look, I've been a student of politics since I was a four-year-old kid, studying revolutionary movements, left wing, right wing. There's a physics, there's a nuclear science to destroying the establishment. To build a bridge, you need to understand Newton's equation. You need to understand the laws of gravity. You need to understand Poisson's ratio. There is a way to build a revolution. And that's why I put this together. My goal is to train a army of truth, freedom, and health leaders. We don't need followers like social media. We need leaders, but they need training because the educational system does not teach them history, nothing. So in 3 hours, that's what I've started doing. That's the solution. Wow. We got to train people first with understanding what a system is, the dynamics of all systems that affect nature. The second is understanding the interconnection between truth, freedom, and health. Freedom is the ability to move freely, communicate freely, talk freely. Without freedom, you cannot convert ideas, hypothesis into truth, which is science. And without freedom, you can't really get to truth. And without truth, you make up fake problems and fake solutions, which means you destroy our health. And without health, which is the infrastructure of us and our body, you can't fight for freedom. Truth, freedom, health. Third concept is it has to be bottoms up, working people, people who work uniting. And what the right wing has done is whenever you say working people unite, that must be communist. Meanwhile, they've let the Democrats run unions, which suppress workers, completely corrupt. But when you look at the arc of American history, it's been when working people came up. We need to go local. Every solution I'm coming up with is a part of this movement. We're giving the science, which is the truth, and then we tell people what they can do on the ground. Like with election fraud, you don't need to wait for some lawyer. Our goal is to train people to go local, to go local, to go local, fight locally. Forget lawyers, forget politicians, forget celebrities. You've got to learn politics, and there is a science to it. They lock us down, we should be ready to shut them down. And the fourth part of this principle is the not so obvious establishment. So when you look at a system, there's always something that disturbs you from getting to your goal. Well, the biggest disturbance is the not so obvious establishment, which are those people who claim they're for you on the left and the right. The Al Sharptons who tell black people I'm for you. The Tucker Carlsons. Do you think any true anti-establishment person will ever be on Fox or CNN? I don't think so. They both mislead working people back into the establishment. Without this solid understanding of political physics and theory, you're screwed. You're going to follow on the left wing Bernie Sanders. Oh, he said something. Or Robert Kennedy. Scumbags. Or you're going to follow some right-wing talk show host. They're not going to lead us to liberation. It's us. We're building a bottoms-up movement. And that political physics, it's a nuclear science of change. Bottoms up. We have to organize to understand that there is people who talk a good game and then look at what they actually do, left and right. I'm sorry, Sean Hannity may say some good things, but I don't see the urgency in his voice to get something done. And it can only come when you weaponize yourself with the right knowledge. You need to be able to identify a rat. You know, Christ didn't go after the Romans, right? It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees who screwed him up. His own, quote unquote, people. And that's where we're at. So these four concepts I've built into a curriculum where people can go to truthfreedomhealth.com, and it's an educational program. We need to train people in political theory. You need to have physics. And I've created that curriculum. People need to get educated. We need to get educated fast. And within a half an hour, I can teach people 2 years of MIT control systems. I teach people those concepts. Then I apply it. Anyone can understand it. And then you say, oh, I got to build a bottoms up movement. They have to get politically astute, and then they have to go locally and act, not sit there on social media. They have to act locally, defy locally, do civil obedience locally, but with knowledge on how to build a movement. Now, the Senate campaign's expanded to the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health, and they can find it on truthfreedomhealth.com, so people can sign in. They can get access to a bunch of videos. If they want to take a course and become a Truth, Freedom, Health leader, I offer a full scholarship there, but we want people to make a commitment that they'll study, that they'll get certified, that they'll go do activities on the ground. So go to truthfreedomhelp.com.